Let's go to John 3:16. Then we're going to go to John 13. And he slipped another one in, Proverbs 10. Okay. It all talks about the same thing. But let's read John 3:16 and 17 together out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then follow along, please, as I share John 13, 34, and 35 out of the Voice translation. In Proverbs 10, we're going to read together in the King James, but I have two other translations I want to share. That could be a whole nother lesson. Shut it down. Turn it off. But it reads, so I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways, plural. So remember the ways that I have loved you, and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. And I just thought it was interesting. Didn't see it till just now. But he says, remember the ways that I've loved you, and then demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. So really, the love he wants us to demonstrate, the love he wants us to take on as ours, is his. It's his. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Pastor Red shared this one Wednesday, and it hit me and stuck. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Contemporary English version, hatred stirs up trouble. Love overlooks the wrongs that others do. Love does what? That's right. It overlooks. The New International Reader's Version. Hate stirs up fights, but love erases all sins by forgiving them. I thought that was a very strong statement. Now let's go to Romans 12. Because this is the foundation scripture that I've been teaching for the last 3 months, I guess. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it together in the King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Are you there? Let's read it together out loud. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, Paul was telling us that there are some choices that we're going to make. And that if we want to be acceptable to God, we have to make the choices to be an example of everything that he said. So that means we have to let him change the way we think. The Message Bible says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I thought about that as an offer. When you give an offering, once you give it, you have no more say in what's done with it. So once we've given ourselves to God, guess what? We have no more say in what he wants to do with us. All right. Verse 2. I'm going to read that in the Voice. It says, do not allow this world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. Now, we understand that Hebrews said that when you come to God, you must first believe that he is, right? I mean, he is. That lets us know that the truth that God is won't do a thing for us if we don't believe that he is. I was sent a book by Dr. Cook, and he didn't author the book, but he sent it to me. It's called The Transformed Life. And in that book, it said, he said, transformation requires radical change. And further goes on to say to the effect that one thing that you can count on is that things will change. He said you can change the way you talk, you can change the way you dress, you can change your address, you can even change your name. But your life will not transform until you change the way you think. See, I'm going to say something that, and I want you to know I didn't convert to being a heretic or anything like that, but God's word won't change you. It won't change you. You could read the Bible from cover to cover, memorize it backwards, and it will do absolutely nothing for you at all. It's what you think about God's word that will change you. And you say, well, I don't really believe that. Well, do you remember the account of Jesus going into his own hometown? Was he anointed when he went to his own hometown? Was he still God's son? Was he still filled with the power of God? But yet he couldn't do any mighty works. Why? Because of what the people thought about him. It wasn't that he didn't have the ability, and it wasn't that he didn't want to. The people didn't think much of him, so they couldn't receive from him. I know nobody here is ever like that, but when I first got born again, there were some ministers I couldn't listen to. In my opinion, they had mealy-mouthed, wimpy voices, and I associated everything with being big and strong and destructive, and because that's where I was at that time. I mean, I told you this before. When I played basketball, we had a theme song, just like the Harlem Globetrotters had Sweet Georgia Brown. Our theme song was Short People Got No Reason to Live. Okay, that was the mindset that I had. And stop looking at me like that. I'm only telling you the truth. Okay. That's where I was. And so when I first came into the kingdom, I wasn't impressed when I saw Pastor Clinton. I wasn't. I saw him once, and then he had a medical issue, and then I saw Pastor Joe Garlington, who was about 2-3 inches bigger, but had a big booming voice and a big presence, and I'm like, yeah, okay, he's a man's man. Lee Thomas was a host, and they had some other men that were 6'4" or taller and big, and I'm like, all right, yes, I can relate. Even the head host Walter Gamm, who wasn't tall, but he was muscular and he was very authoritative, and I'm like, yeah, I can handle that absolutely. So sometimes just our own personalities and what we think about people prevent us from receiving from them. I mean, how many times have your children come to you and shared something that really was God's wisdom and you didn't receive it because they're your child and you already know that? You probably taught it to them. Okay. But what they were saying would have been life-changing had we received it.
So it's very important. Look at Proverbs 4. See, we need to understand how what we think is so important. Proverbs 4, verse 23. And this one, the scripture that brings this home is the Good News Bible. See, Proverbs 23, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But that doesn't really give it to you. But Proverbs 4, 23 in the Good News Bible says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. See, before there can ever be strife in any relationship, first thing that has to happen is you have to think there is. And then as you keep thinking about it, guess what starts lining up with your thoughts? First your words, then your actions. And then you find that you have what you say because you're saying what you've been thinking, so you've have what you've thought. I mean, people go into things and they have these thoughts about it and they get disappointed because they're not thinking correctly. And they wind up always being disappointed. Folks, the only way we're going to benefit from what God says concerning us is we're going to have to renew our minds so we can change the way we think. It's really that simple. Say, well, change is hard. Only if you think it is. Only if you think it is. We were at a leadership meeting in West Haven, and the speaker, as renowned as he is, because his curriculum is expensive, and just going to the free training requires a time investment. And he kept saying, you know, we know it's hard, and we know it costs a lot, and that's why some can't come. And Pastor Ed and I, we kept looking at each other. Finally, we had an opportunity to talk to him, and we said, you know, you need to stop saying that. He started laughing. He said, here I am, and everything I say is positive and encouraging the people, and then I stand up there and say, but this is too hard. I know it costs a lot, and some of you can't afford it. Why are you saying that about the people? And it's only because so many people have come to him and said, this is great, but I can't afford it, that he's adopted that thought process, and it affects what the people can do. But we're in Christ, are we not? Well, this is what we should be thinking. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know these are primary, you know, these are like Christianity 101. But as all of the great athletes have said, you have to take care of the basic fundamentals. You don't start out trying to do a reverse dunk until you learn how to just do a simple old one-handed, reach it over and kind of just push it down through. I mean, that's it. You know, everybody starts out and they want to have their shoulders over the rim. No, you just start out just getting it over. And as you keep doing that, you find out you start getting higher and higher and higher. But verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So that means it doesn't matter what you've gone through. All you have to, and you could say human, if you get caught up on man and say, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. Well, any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We have an issue here because we're not thinking that way. We keep thinking about what's happened to us in the past, what someone did or what someone said, and we won't let it go. And because we won't let it go, we won't forgive. Because we won't forgive, we won't operate in love. Because we won't operate in love, we can't operate in faith, because faith worketh by love. And we're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, there's no love there. Why not? Because I'm remembering what this person did, and I'm not thinking I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away. God's Word translation says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. I no longer think short people got no reason to live. Okay. I know that everybody has a right to live. All right. The Bible in basic English, but I wouldn't be married to Deacon Phyllis if I had that idea about short people. She's shorter than I am. I said, you're shorter than I am. I cleaned it up before we got there. As soon as it came out of my mouth, it was like, clean that up, buddy. The Bible in basic English. Listen to this. So if any man is in Christ, he's in a new world. That's what I did when I read that the first time. I went, I'm in a new world. Old things have come to an end. They have truly become new. But that's not the one that really did it for me. The Phillips translation did. It says, for if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Say, my past is finished and gone. See, and then it says, everything has become new. You know what that told me? I am not a mere human being. I'm not. And because I'm not a mere human being, I'm not subject to the principles of humanity. I'm a new person altogether. I live in a different world. So whatever the principles are of this world should not apply to me because I'm from a different world. But if I don't think that, I'm going to be bound by all of the principles that this world says I have to adhere to. This world says, you're in a body, you get sick. The new world says, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. I mean, that's, the old world says, you work 30 years, maybe you'll get a gold watch, but the best you can do is just make it. New world says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in help. Because my God shall supply all my need. Well, if I'm not thinking that, I'm not going to have it. I have to start thinking it. I have to think out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. Why do I have to think that? That will control what I allow down into my heart. But if I'm not thinking that, I'll let anything come in. And if I let anything come in, anything's going to come out. And I'm going to be a person driven by emotion, not led by the Holy Ghost. You don't want to be driven by emotion, folks. Emotion doesn't love you. Doesn't. And you'll find out that once you're driven by emotion, you'll wind up pretty much alone, because people will just get too through with you. You say, yeah, but they're supposed to love me. Yes, they are. But you wind up pushing emotional buttons in them. And so for their spiritual health, they'll keep you at a distance until you can be inoculated with the word. Okay? But let's look at Ephesians 2. I'm going to do verse 10. I'll let you know when I need that up, Josh. It'll be soon. All right. it reads, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We were created in good works before the foundation of the world. I just got finished sharing with the folks, I believe it was last Sunday, that when you look at the reproductive process, this internet article said that there are between 20 to 100 million sperm cells in a milliliter. But every event releases about five, can release up to 6 milliliters. So that's about 500 million sperm cells. 500 million. One is going to make it. One. I'm laughing when I say that because my wife and I went to... We went to a Bill Cosby concert, comedy concert, and he said that his children used to say, "Well, I didn't ask to be born." And he said he didn't have an answer for that until he was 70. Because I think he's 76 now, I believe. And he said at 70, he woke up and he had the answer to that comment, "Well, I didn't ask to be born." He said when his children said that to him now, he said, "Oh, yes, you did." And they said, "When?" He said, "Hey, you were one of about 200 million. You could have made a left." He said. But when you think about it, God knew you were going to be that one in 500 million. And so he created a plan just for you while you were one in 500 million. Because if you want to see that further, look at the scripture in Jeremiah 1, I believe, or 5, one of the first five verses, it says, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew all about you." Before that. What were you before that? One in 500 million. Okay. So as you were swimming along, he's the one, when you think about it, I just thought about this. He's the one that gave you the strength to outswim all the rest. You need to think about it. He anointed you then because he had a plan for you. And you got to write that down for me. I got to remember that one. Okay. That just expressed right in. Out of 500 million, only one makes it through. That means that has to be the strongest. Didn't say the first one. You could have been the 500 millionth one, and you burst through the whole stream, and bang, you got there. Why? Because God had a plan for you, and he did everything that he could. Just think about it, just to get the plan started. But you got to see this in the Amplified. You can put that up, Josh. Look at verse 10. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship." What's the next word after workmanship? "Recreated in Christ." Oh, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. "Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared," when? "Ahead of time that we should," and because we walk in them, what comes after that? "Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." You think about while you were one in 500 million, God prearranged a path that you should walk in them so you'll have the good life. He said, what's the good life? Don't worry about it. He already has it planned out for you. But if we're not thinking this thought, we'll miss it. We won't understand that we are his workmanship, born anew, predestined. He didn't create us to just look good. He created us to do good. To do good what? To do good works. What works? Well, what about being fruitful and multiplying, replenishing the earth? What about the Great Commission? What about, didn't we hear, as you walk out, the dead shall rise. You'll go in the hospitals, they'll empty out. Why? The people will be healed. So we can't do that. Then all the nurses and things will be out of business. No, they'll be the intake. Folks will come in, and then they'll call us in. It's okay, we have some more for you. Come on in. And then we just come in. Go. It's going to get to the place where we won't even have to go in the room. Just walk by the hallway, and folks just start get up and walking out of their rooms, going home. I mean, but if we're not thinking that we can do that, if we're not thinking that that's why he created us, we'll never see it. We'll never have it. We have to, please say, I'm God's workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we have to keep thinking about that. And we have to keep thinking about it all the time. Okay, speaking of time, let me give you some definitions. Workmanship, that which has been made. That's very simple. Of the works of God as creator. Then I looked up create. Because, you know me, I like to know what the Bible's talking about and what it means. And there were several definitions for created which surprised me. And I was surprised even more when the Holy Ghost highlighted this one. To make habitable. Yeah, I did that too. You read these and I'm like, to make habitable? Look at John 17. Because that's telling us God created us in a manner that would allow him to live in us. John 17, I need to share this in the Message Bible. I'll begin in the Message Bible. It starts at verse 20. Jesus said, I'm praying not only for them, who's them? Who's them? You can say it, you know it. Yes. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm praying for them. I just moved my page. There we go. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of them. He's already telling us what we're going to be doing. Right? Because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory that you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them. You in me. In order for him to be in us, we had to be made habitable so that he could come in us. It says, then they'll be mature in this oneness. Now, catch this. And give the godless world evidence that you sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. He created us to be evidence that God so loved the world. Us. That's our job. And in order to do that, he had to be able to live in us, because if he lived in us, then he could radiate through us. But in order to live in us, we had to be fit, a fit place for him. So he had to create us habitable so that he can come in and live in us. The problem is that it's not exclusive to him. We can also allow the enemy to come in. See, so we still have choice. That's why it's important that we think what the word says, and we won't let anyone else come in. If we understand that he made us habitable, but it was habitable for him, we won't let anyone else. Do you just let anybody else come into your home? You made your home a comfortable place for you. You did things according to your specs, your likes, your needs. And you're not going to let just anybody come in. And if they come in and want to stay in and not wind up underground or in the penitentiary, they have to have been invited in. Well, one of the things we have to understand that the devil cannot bogart his way into your life. He doesn't have that kind of power. He doesn't have it. Jesus said he gave you power. He gave us power over all the power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. So he can't just bogart his way into your heart. He can't just bogart and just insert himself into your life. You have to invite him in. Say, I don't invite him in. Yeah, you do. How do you do that? By what you think. And you don't have to think about it long. As soon as that thought pops in, he catches the wave, like that Sprite commercial, he catches the wave and just he rides it right in. By the time you can say, you know, I shouldn't be thinking this, he's already in there. He's gotten in. And now you have to get him out. The good news is you can get him out just as fast. Okay? But how do you think the world will respond if they actually see in us that God loves us the same way he loved Jesus and he loves them the same way? They'd want it. So when you look at that in reverse and see, it seems like they don't want it. Why? They're not seeing it in God's alleged children. So how many of you would want to be part of a family where the parents are always intoxicated and they're always fighting and, you know, and forget about rest and peace. And every time you go home, there's arguing and cursing and throwing dishes and all of that stuff. Police get called, neighbors get called. Child Protective Service is always interviewing you. You know, do your parents, do they hit you? Do they hurt you? Are you sure they? Nobody wants to live like that. Nobody's going to lie and say, oh, I got to be a part of that family. Oh, yeah. I don't think so. But what happens when they look at churches bickering with each other? What happens, they observe Pastor Greg and his wife, Deacon Phyllis, walking down the street this far apart. Just, I mean, what are they going to think? And then they walk in and say, welcome to Redeeming Love. I think it's all used up and you didn't get your dose. But we have to understand, you can pop that verse back up, please, Josh. Ephesians 2. We have to understand and think about this verse. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. We've been recreated in Christ. I'm going to talk about that word. Born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Prearranged and made ready for us to live. Genesis 1:26 tells us we were created in whose image? Okay, which really means the Godhead. Because God said, let us. You know, he didn't say, let me or I'm going to. He said, let us make man. So he was talking to the Godhead. And so they made Adam and Eve. And they gave them absolute dominion. And they were clothed with the glory of God. Then something happened that was hard, not unexpected, but it was still horrible. They sinned. Everything changed. They no longer walked around with the glory of God. Everything changed. The ground started producing things it never produced before. Thorns, thistles, and weeds. Never produced that before. The animals that they used to feed by hand now wanted to eat their hands. Why? Because they changed. When the animals looked at them, they no longer saw God. They saw this strange creature that they had never seen before. See, the animals, they used to just come right up. Now, you try and walk up on a bird. As soon as it senses you, it's, I'm getting out of here. That didn't happen before. Everything was absolutely perfect. But the world no longer was a safe place because Adam and Eve, instead of thinking about all God had done and all God was, at some point in time, the devil rode in on a thought that maybe God was keeping something from them. And they took that thought and ran with it. Ran with it. Changed the way they thought. And now they didn't see God as this person to whom is due absolute obedience. Now he's someone that's trying to keep stuff from us. When he hadn't demonstrated any of that, ever. The only thing he was trying to keep from them was sin. That was it. And he did that by providing every single thing that they could possibly want. And if it wasn't there, all Adam had to do was speak it, and guess what? It would have been there. He had dominion, and it wasn't enough. We have dominion. Sometimes it's not enough. Why? Because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things entering in, choke the word, and we become unfruitful. And we get mad at God. And we start taking the world's practices, the world's ways, the world's procedures to try and get what God prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them living the good life, which he prearranged. It's really that simple. We have to think like that. But when we receive Jesus Christ, because the second definition for that word created means to form or shape, to completely change or transform. We were recreated. We were completely changed so that we could again be in the image and likeness of God. So the world would again be able to see the glory of God in a human being. Walking around in absolute health, absolute prosperity, absolute dominion. We have to think of that. The purpose of our being is for the world to see us and not see us, but to see Christ in us. Then I walked into Delhi this morning. We called it an order. And I came in. I said, hi. And as soon as I said hi, the person said, pass the car. I'd never seen them before. I just wanted to say hi. I said, pass the car. I said, yep. He said, your order's ready. I said, oh, good, because they told us 15 or so minutes, and we got there in like 8, and it was ready. I said, oh, great, it's ready, good, because we're running late. She said, may I ask you something? I'm like, sure. Okay. I'm wondering, who should we really pray to? Should I really be praying to the saints and things, because I lost something that was very special, very personal, very valuable to me, and this praying to St. Peter just isn't getting it. I said to her, I said, the Bible says, you know, you pray whatever you ask in Jesus' name. So you pray in the name of Jesus. And she kind of looked at me and said, well, hey, you're just doing what Mary said. She said, whatever Jesus says, go do it. Well, he said, that's the way we pray. And you'll have what you say. And then I was, she said, really? I said, yeah. I said, as a matter of fact, I set myself in agreement with you that God will reveal where this item is within the next 3 days. I mean, I said it without even thinking. It just came out. Then as I was walking away, God stopped and I went back. Her name is Paige, I think. Yeah. And I said, Paige, I said, God just downloaded this. After you ask him, start thanking him for it because you believe he's going to do what he said. This big smile came on her face. I said, and when you find it, call the Redeeming Love Christian Center and say, hey, Pastor Greg, I got it. Just leave a message for me. And I walked out. In 3 days. Yeah. 3 days. Why? I'm his handiwork. I'm his workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus that I can do good works. That he so that has to mean while I was 1 in 500, he knew that on this date I was going to encounter this person named Paige. Knew it. Before I was formed, he knew it. I just had to be obedient to walk it out so that I always wind up where I'm supposed to be. But if I'm not thinking that I'm his workmanship, if I'm not thinking I'm created in Christ Jesus to do good works, if I'm not thinking that, then I must be thinking I can do what I want, when I want, however I want, and not be where I'm supposed to be a blessing to one of God's people who he wants to become one of his children. See, we have to take ourselves out of the equation. Now, we read in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was that if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. And the past is finished and gone, and everything has become new. And that should be we would think that that would be something very easy since we're in Christ, but it's not, because we're stuck. Some of us are stuck based on things that have happened in our past. And until you deal with that and get rid of it, you're always going to be tormented by those memories. On my wife's phone, there's a, you know, I have those screens, those little things that protect the screen on your phone, screensaver, and you have clear, and you also have the anti-glare. And because I got too many bubbles on the clear one when I was putting it on, we had to go to the anti-glare. The problem with the anti-glare is you can't always see what's on the screen in all situations. And what happens is that when we allow our past to come in, we don't see who we are in every situation. We don't see it. It gets covered over. And so we'll miss some things. We won't do some things. We won't hear some things. We'll turn ourselves away and not realize that we're God's workmanship just because of what happened. God said to me that some have suffered physical abuse. You can't seem to shake it. You've been emotionally abused. You've been severely wronged. And you've even done some things that you're afraid that one day somebody's going to find out. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're as transparent as we can. Because this way the devil can't hang anything overhead. Say, I'm going to let them know this one day. Yeah, well, I'm going to let them know first. You know, I mean, that's... Because once I do that, once I do it, when I put things about me out there, I'm released. I'm released. I'm emptied. I'm emptied. There isn't anything that can come and pull something out of me that I don't want to come out if I get rid of it. I mean, what happens if you never take out the garbage? Okay. it starts affecting the whole house. And yeah, we can do like that commercial. You could spray that stuff. That, yeah, the Febreze, it'll cover it for a while, but you'll need someone to stay there 24/7, 365 days. And then you're going to find out that what you're inhaling for that long is not good for your respiratory system, and you wind up with some other issues. But at least people won't know what you did. Well, this isn't a people thing. This is a God thing. And he highlighted this scripture to me. Would you put up the other scripture, please, Josh? Again, very, very simple scripture. One of the first scriptures we probably had to memorize as children. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And this one we don't think about. He restoreth my soul. What does that mean? He repairs my mind. He heals the bruises. He makes me feel whole and clean again. Again. If we understand that and start thinking about it, we'll no longer be haunted by our past. And we'll have time to meditate on, which just means think about and talk about, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prearranged, that I could walk in them living the good life. And you'll realize that it does not matter what you did. If you had a sinful thought right now and repented to God right now, as far as God's concerned, you never had that thought. So why do you go home and say, why would I keep thinking that? I'm sitting in church and I'm having these thoughts. You already dealt with it. Let it go. Treat it like you're walking outside with a helium balloon that gets out of your hand. You're not going to run down the street and jump up and try and catch it. It goes up, up, up. It's gone. It's gone. I'm not crying. I got so excited thinking about things. I didn't put the drops in my eyes. One thing that I notice happens to me, I don't know if it happens to you, Deacon Lee, but because I have a long torso, when I sit up and the air blows, it goes up through my glasses, right through my eyes. And I'm driving down the street, I'm like, because it just drops right out. And so I stop and I just put drops in them. Beg pardon? No, I didn't hear what you said. That doesn't happen to Charlie. Right? See? The tall people can't see because their eyes get dry. The other thing that doesn't happen, what does heat do? It rises, right? So when I'm sitting in the car and the ceiling's here, and my head is right up there being baked. Okay. But when he restores my soul, he restores the moisture to my eyes. Okay. He brings back, he refreshes. Okay. But even things, that's what I have to think. I have to start thinking. I sit in this car and I drive, and no, the air going through is not going to have an effect on my eyes. I need to think that way. But you see how easy it is just to get off center. And you wind up with a gap. See, if God says, bang, that's the way for you. And as a matter of, can we do a little experiment now? Look, just stand over here, right here, okay? And I want you to look over there, okay? Keep looking over there, but I want you to walk toward me, No, because okay. Okay. Keep looking over there. All right. Stop. Look where I am. Okay. So we have this gap between where you are and where you should be, just not because you didn't want to get there, but for whatever reason, you were looking somewhere else. Thank you. And that's what happens to us. We're not looking at the Lord is my shepherd. He'll make me lie down in green pastures. He'll lead me beside the still waters. But, oh, Lord, he also restores my soul. We keep looking at what happened to us, and we're not on the mark. And you said, with your heart's desire, you want to be on the mark and do what God called you to do, but you keep looking at what happened to you. And God says you need to release that today. You need to just let it go. He restoreth your soul. He turns back from evil your soul. He refreshes your soul. He gives payment for your soul. God, that's all these are the definition of restoreth. He reverses. He revokes. He brings it back. And all we have to do is let him. And we let him by just thinking about who we are. We're his workmanship. See, that scripture is telling us that God heals our memories. He heals them. Because memories turn into baggage. And according to Hebrews, we have to let go every weight. Memories are weight. They prevent you from running the race with patience. See, you can just walk. You don't even have to run. You're just walking around this chapel with nothing in your arms. You could probably walk a long time. Put a suitcase in each hand that weighs about 60 pounds. Try walking around. How many times you can walk around with that? Then hang a shoulder bag. Put on a shoulder bag that's additional 40 pounds. And try and walk around with that. Well, that's what we're doing when we attempt to do what God wants and we keep thinking about what happened in our past. We have to let it go. We have to let it go. It doesn't matter if you were innocent or guilty. The Amplified Bible says, he refreshes and restores my life. The Wycliffe says, he converted my soul. Complete Jewish Bible says, he restores my inner person. Restores. Listen to this in the Message Bible. You let me catch my breath. You let me catch my breath. And the voice simply says, he makes me whole again. Makes me whole. So whatever it is that's holding you down, you need to stand up. That's step one. Whatever it was, if you have anything, nobody's here, that's fine. But usually he doesn't tell me to do things if nobody's there. He said he'll make every word he gives me come true. And this was not my choice to teach this lesson today. I wanted to do something different. But he said, no, this one. And so I said, okay. So just there's no shame in this.